God, thank you for all that you've done for us this morning. Thank you that you are so powerful and that you're so wise, you're so just, you're so good, and that you're so patient and you're so loving. And Lord, there's so many other things that you are to us. And I just pray that today, this morning, you would be our guide and our comforter. And you would especially be with Derek and speak to his heart and help him to communicate with us. And as we sang this morning, may our hearts be open and may you impart truth to us. And may your blessing be upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It is a privilege and a blessing to worship the Lord with you. And the song that really stood out to me was "Oh, to be like thee." Oh, to be like you. And I'm going to just read a part of it. "Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive your anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all I have shall be yours. Oh, to be like you. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp your own image deep on my heart." Is that your prayer this morning? It is an incredible, powerful song, and it goes hand in hand with the message that the Lord gave to me. And I titled the message, "From Glory to Glory." We are being transformed into the image of Christ. And it comes from 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're going to read the verse, but we're not going to stay there very long this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And to give you a bit of backstory on it, about a year ago, I was going to preach a message, "Being Zealous for Good Works." And this is the message that actually came out of that message. This was the journey that the Lord took me on over the last year. And it was a message that I struggled to get some of my thoughts together. I struggled to get some of how I was feeling into words. And late last night, I was spending some time in prayer and worship, and the Lord showed me that I had a message based on intellect, based on what I knew, and I was not ready to share it from my heart. And the other side of that is you cannot actually speak on from glory to glory if you have not experienced his glory. And I have not even close experienced the glory of God that I desire to. I believe that in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now, the glory of God that I have experienced will be much deeper than what I have experienced already today. So I'm bringing a message partly in faith of what will be, and also in reality of what has been, and speaking of a supernatural thing with human words. So my prayer is that the Lord, by his supernatural grace and mercy, will take our human understanding, my limitations of what I've experienced, and transform it and take the words and speak to where you are at today. Because it's very difficult to take and speak of a supernatural experience. So the title is "From Glory to Glory," and it comes from 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to start in verse 17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When we are being transformed from the glory of God, we experience two conflicting tensions. To one degree, we are living fulfilled and thriving in our Christian life. And then we have this opposing tension that the more of that glory we experience, the more I understand that I have not experienced. It's like the more you know of God, the more you know you don't know. And that's what's happening with this here glory. We live a fulfilled life, resting in Jesus, thriving in the glory that he has given to us. But then we have this opposing tension, and we're like, Lord, I desperately need more of you. Lord, I desperately need another glory. I desperately want a deeper anointing. I want to understand you more. I want to understand you greater. And that's these opposing tensions that we are that we face as we go from, as we're being transformed from this element of glory, this element of rest and fulfillment into a deeper element of that. The glory of God is the manifestation of God's power, God's nature, and God's holiness. And if you're wondering how I got here from a message of being zealous for good works, I truly believe that being zealous for good works is a byproduct of when we live transformed by the glory of God. Being zealous for good works is a byproduct when we live transformed by the glory of God. The glory of God is, and being zealous for good works is less about what we do, and actually it's more about what we carry. So it's not about this mindset, I need to be zealous for good works, but it's actually living in this place of glory that God has given to us, and those are a byproduct. So it is not the focus. It is because, and it's a result of the glory of God that he has given to us. Being zealous for good works is taking that which was imparted to us and channeling it in our lives, or stewarding it in our lives. So this morning I've got, for note takers, I've got 2 points. And then before the 2 points, I've got a prerequisite or a requirement before hosting the glory of God. And then the 2 points are the glory of the mountain and the purpose of the mountain. And the prerequisites are 3 messages that I spoke over the last year. The first one being is intimacy. If we do not have intimacy with our bridegroom, if the only time that we come into the presence of God and we look upon his face and we gaze upon him is when we come to him with a honey-do list, and we're not coming there with intent to understand him and know him better, then we are not ready and we are not capable to host the glory of God, because it will become a dead works and it will become acts of religion. And the second one is rest. If we do not understand that Jesus is our rest, Jesus is our Sabbath, he came and completed the Sabbath, and he did not abolish it, but he completed it. We should be living a life from rest, from Jesus, resting in him so that we can rest as we go about our lives. And this last year, that was a journey for me. The Lord showed me at the beginning of the year that I did not know how to rest. And he told me he's going to show me how to rest. And in a lot of ways, he has. And I believe there's still deeper elements of rest out there. And the third one was baptism of the Spirit. Every good and perfect gift is from above, given by our Father. If we want to operate in good works, or if we want to host the glory of God, we must have and operate in the baptism and anointing of the Holy Ghost. So this morning, if you're not living an intimate relationship with Jesus, then this message is not for you. If we're not living from a place of rest and going and carrying that rest with us, then the glory of God, this message about the glory, is not for you. If we are not living in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we will not be able to host the glory of God. Point number one, the glory of the mountain. Turn with me. This will be our text for today, is Matthew 17. Many of you have probably guessed it. It's the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. We're going to read in, starting in verse 1 and through verse 9. Matthew 17, 1 through 9. And there's 2 other accounts of it in the Gospels as well, one in Mark and one in Luke. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their face, and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." We're going to stop reading there. I look at this account, and it's a glorious account. Could you imagine being one of Peter, James, and John, and Jesus is inviting you to go up to this mountain? You have no idea of what is to come. You have no idea of what you're going to experience when you're at the top of the mountain. They are going to see Jesus transfigured and transformed before them. They are going to see these great men of old, Moses, who led millions of people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. He led millions of people to a place of milk and honey, where they could live a thriving, fulfilled life. Yes, there were giants in that land, but the Lord was with them. Moses, God calls one of the humblest men who ever lived. Imagine being on this mount, and Moses shows up. And then Elijah, a mighty prophet of God, shows up. He has spoken so different times, and we can see countless stories of where the fire of God showed up, broke through the heavens, burned up the altars and the sacrifice of praise and worship that was given to him. And God, through his servant, Elijah, made known to the children of Israel that Jehovah is God, that Jehovah reigns forever. These are two tremendous men of God. This Mount of Transfiguration, I'm going to be referring to the mountaintop experience, is where the glory of God showed up. And each one of us can look back in our lives, and we see these mountaintop experiences. We see these moments where the glory of God shows up. Some of you can look back to last night in your prayer closet. Some of you are going to see these high peaks. Maybe it was at a youth retreat or a conference. Maybe it was, like myself, one of the first moments was when I came out of the waters of baptism and the glory of God showed up and fell upon me and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the most glorious moment in my life. It was a new glory that I never experienced before. And from there on, time and time again, God will continue to show his glory. And you and I can look back and we see these glorious moments. These moments where the glory of God shows up. Sometimes when you look in these moments, there's mighty men of God there. There's mighty men of God, maybe who led you through deliverance. Maybe who gave you a prophetic word. But the glory is only there because the Lord is there. The glory is only there because Jesus was there. Without Jesus, it's a men's meeting. And I borrowed that from Andy a few months or weeks ago. He sent me a message about the Mount of Transfiguration. And I had no idea that I was going to use that on Zealous for Good Works. And I was on a journey. But without Jesus being there, it would have been a men's meeting. There would have been no glory. The glory was because Jesus was there. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that you and I have these mountaintop experiences that we can look at and we receive a deeper anointing, a deeper revelation of the glory of God. He shows up and he reveals himself to you. That's the glory of God, is when he reveals himself. And so often, as we're going to look at here, is the purpose of the mountain. And for many times, if this is you, that you look back and you see these peaks, these mountaintop peaks, and then you have all these valleys, then this message is for you. Because the purpose of the mountaintop peaks is so that we can carry the glory with us, as we're going to see later on in this chapter. The purpose of these peaks is to transform my life, to transform your life, so that we can carry the glory with us and live a transformed life. We do not need to have a life of peaks and valleys, but we can carry the glory with us in the valley. We can carry it back down the mountain. The purpose of the mountain is because that's where we are being transformed to a deeper level of this glory. The mountain is good. These are good moments. When you look back and you see these peaks and you see the glory of God in your life, it transformed you and it changes you, and it is good. God invites you there. Jesus invited his disciples to come up the mountain. These are not moments that you can look at and say, you know, you. So often we can. If the other extreme of that sometimes we can run into is we use the word conference chasers. You know, they're always needing another fix or another high. And that's one degree, but that's only when we do not understand how to carry the glory that we received. That's when we need another fix. But when we understand to carry that glory with us, these moments can be good moments. They can be alone in your prayer closet. They can be at a conference. I don't really care where it is, but there are moments of repentance. There are moments of deliverance. There are moments when the Lord shows up and his word is spoken to you. There are moments when the glory of God is revealed to us. And these are good moments. These moments Jesus is inviting us into, and he longs that we will have more of these moments. He longs to take us up the mountain. He does not want you and I to stay at the bottom. It boosts our faith. It will boost your faith when you see the glory of God. And yet, so often we're like Peter. I love his right how he starts in. He's like, Lord, this is good that we are here. It is good. It is good to experience and encounter the glory of God. But then he goes on, he says, let me build three houses, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'm going to camp out on this mountain. He had never seen the glory of God like this, ever, in his life. And he loved it. He was attracted to it, and he was drawn in, and he was ready to camp out. It's like if you and I are going to cross over a creek. You take a stone, you throw it in the water, you go on that stone and put another stone, and we cross over the creek walking from stone to stone to stone. And I did that multiple times growing up, but not once did I get to a stone and I stopped at a stone. I'm like, I've got 1.5 square feet of stone. I'm going to build a house here. I'm going to camp out here. You can pick me up in the morning. That would be ridiculous. The stone had a purpose, and it was to take me to the next stone. But my destination is not the stone. My destination is not to stand on this stone, as good of a purpose as it is, as high of a point it is, as dry as it is keeping me, and as much as I can bask in the sun. That is not the purpose for me to stay there. As soon as I did that, as soon as I will build a house on that stone, that single stone, I have taken the purpose too far, and I've made an idol out of that stone, and I have stopped myself from the destination, which is the bank on the other side. And so often, we are like Peter. We come to these glorious moments, and we're like, Lord, this is good that I am here. And the Lord's looking down, it is good. He's smiling, I believe that. He's looking at you and saying, it is good that you are here. It is good that you have experienced this glory. And he's smiling at you. and he loves you, and he wants you to bask in that. But what he does not want you to do is build a house in that glory. What he does not want you to do is build a sanctuary on your deliverance and build a temple on that word that was given to you back there. He does not want you to stay there. That word that was given, the prophetic word, was not to keep you there. It was to take you further. The deliverance was not so that you can just stay there. The people didn't leave Egypt to stay in the wilderness. They left Egypt so that they could go into the promised land and conquer the entire territory, so that they could defeat the enemy. The purpose of these glorious moments is not so that we can stay there. They are good, and they are from God. But the purpose of the mountain, that is the glory of the mountain, but the purpose of the mountain is so that we can go back down the mountain, so that we can come from our prayer closet, so that we can take what was imparted to us and share it to other people. God gives us these glorious mountaintop moments, but we are not to worship the moment. We are not to build a temple or a sanctuary on that mountain. We are not to worship the Moses or the Elijahs in our life. Yes, they will carry a prophecy, and they will lead us in a deliverance, but the glory is from the Lord. The reason there was glory was because Jesus was there. I guess I was getting ahead of myself earlier. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone till the Son of Man is raised up from the dead. I love that. They're heading down the mountain, and then Jesus looks at them and he's like, I'm commanding you. You don't tell a soul about this glory until I've raised from the dead. And then they went into a whole bunch of theological questions, and that's where I was stuck last night, and all these things. But the reason why, I believe, is because they seen a glory of Christ that was not yet given to mankind. And you and I, this morning, if we have not experienced and encountered the glorious freedom of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, rising again for your sins and my sins, and we have not been buried with him, rising again in that same newness of life, then this glory is for you. Jesus wants to take you into this glory. He longs to shine his face down on you. We can talk about this glory freely today because it has happened. Jesus gave them a glory of what was to come. There are times in your prayer closet, there are times when you are on a mountaintop experience that Jesus is going to give you a glory of which is to come. And he might ask you to steward it. He might ask you, actually, don't tell everyone about this glory. This glory is for you. This is my promise to you. And then when he says that, steward it and host his glory. But when it's a glory that has been given to all mankind, we are called to share it to everyone. And this glory was given to all mankind, but it did not even happen yet. It didn't even happen. Jesus still didn't die. They were under the old law. And that's why Jesus was telling them, let's just hold back a little bit, disciples. You guys seen a glory of God that you can soon live in every single day. You can take this mountaintop experience with you as you go through your life. You do not need to just leave it at the mountain and then you go back to your everyday life. You soon, and very soon, you will be able to take this glory down the mountain. But as of right now, the people at the bottom of the mountain don't know about this glory. This has not been freely given. It is not given until I die and rise again, defeating sin, death, and the grave, and living victoriously over it. So that is the glory of the mountain. The purpose of the glory. Oh, I think I said at the beginning it's the purpose of the mountain. Purpose of the glory. At the bottom of the mountain, what is happening at the bottom of the mountain is just as important as what was happening at the top of the mountain. So Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they head up this high mountain, it says, and I don't know how long it took them, but it took them some time to get up there, and they headed up there, and now they're coming down. In this time frame, there is a gathering that is happening at the bottom of the mountain. There's a crowd that is gathering. There's multiple people, and the other disciples are there. And in this crowd, and you can read this through the end of verse 21. Actually, we're not going to read through it this morning, but take this home. You've got homework. Read through the Mount of Transfiguration, and then read the other accounts with it. Through the end of 21. But in this crowd, there's a boy who's being demonized. And they took him to the disciples, and the disciples could not deliver him. They could not take him to a place of freedom. So I believe that there's kind of, this crowd is gathering, and I can picture it in my mind that there's this bit of an uproar that's happening, and the disciples are confused. They've cast out multiple demons already, but why not this one? What's going on? Jesus, when are you coming back? You're up on this mountain. We desperately need you down here. There's a lot of people that are gathering. And they head back down the mountain, and Jesus and the glory of God touches this individual, and he is set free. And the disciples ask him, why could we not do this? Why could I not deliver this boy? We've done it before. And Jesus said, it's because of your faith. It's because of your faith. The purpose of the mountain, the purpose of this glory is to boost our faith. Because when you experience the glory of God, you will walk away from that moment more confident in him and less confident in yourself. And mankind will sometimes look at those bold men of God and say, they're full of self. They're full of pride. When you encounter the glory of God, you will be more confident and more bold than you ever were before. But it will be completely in Jesus. None of it will be in yourself. Because when you encounter that glory, you see how desperate we are in need of his glory. We encounter it firsthand. And it's not about you and I. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's completely because Jesus was there. And we need a touch of his glory. The demonized boy needed what was given on the mountaintop. There are people in our lives who need the glory that God has given us. They need a touch of that glory. It's like the upper room in Acts chapter 2. The disciples are gathering and they're waiting for this promise which is called the Holy Spirit. And they had no idea how this looks. And they're sitting there, they're praying and they're fasting and they're asking the Lord, Lord, I need this promise, and you said it's coming, and you said you're going to give it. I'm in a desperate need of it. And the glory of God shows up, and it was, as it were, tongues of fire resting on their head. And they knew instantly that they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And they went out from that room, and they did not leave the Holy Spirit there. They carried it with them, and Peter preached the first New Testament gospel message. And there were 3,000 people who were converted to this religion, as the world calls it, of Christianity. They were buried for their sins, and they rose again in newness of life. But they didn't stop there. In Acts chapter 3, they go to the temple, and they meet a crippled man. They meet a man who cannot walk. And he's like, do you have silver, gold, anything? And they're like, I do not have what you're asking for, but what I do have, I will give it to you. And that is the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, we can also receive the glory of God. See, it's less about trying to get on the top of the mountain, because we all know, we all long for that. That's that desperate need of more of the glory of God. We already have that tension. What I needed to learn over this last year was to learn how to come down the mountain, how to host that glory with me, how to take it with me into my streets, into my communities, into my family. And some of you do that very, very well. Some of you are hosting His glory every day. Steph, I get the privilege of working with you. Every day, I see the joy of the Lord on you, and you host His presence. You host His glory. You do not leave it in your prayer closet. You do not leave it on the mountaintop. You take it with you, because there are people who need a touch of that glory. In your lives, there are people who are in a desperate need of a dance. They are in a desperate need to jump up and dance like that crippled man did. And that's going to confuse all the religious leaders around him. That's going to confuse the community. That's going to confuse everyone. Except this man, what he says is, I don't know what happened. I believe it was this account. Maybe I'm merging two accounts. But I do know that I used to not walk. Actually, I think that was a time with Jesus, so I'm mixing two there. But he was dancing and shouting and rejoicing because he encountered a touch of the glory of God. That is what happens when we are faithful in carrying the glory of God with us, is that it will touch the lives of those around us. There is someone in your life who is in desperate need of freedom. They are in desperate need. They are being cast into the fire constantly. They are being overcome by temptation. They are being overcome by wickedness and evil. They are being demonized, and they are in desperate need of the glory of God. They are in desperate need of what was imparted to you on the mountaintop. They are in desperate need of your upper room experience because they cannot get up there. They are crippled. They are lame. They do not know how to get into the upper room. They are not able to. And that is why God imparted it to you, is so that we can touch them with the glory of God, so that they will rise up and they will enter into the upper room, so that they can have their own mountaintop experiences where the glory of God shows up. What good is the deliverance if you leave it in your prayer closet? What good is repentance if we don't walk it out? These glorious moments, when we look back and we're like, it was in that moment the glory of God showed up. I encountered a freedom like I never experienced before. What good is it if I walk away from that deliverance and I leave that behind me? When I repent of my wickedness, but I go right back to how I was living before, what good did that do? What good is a prophetic word if it does not change your life? Until we learn to carry the glory of the Lord with us, we don't need another mountaintop experience. We don't need another conference. We need to understand how to carry and host the presence of God. So that when you're standing on a mountaintop and you see another mountain and you're like, Lord, I want to go there. Lord, I desperately need to go there. Lord, take me there. And when you go down this mountain, you are hosting and living in that same glory that He so richly imparted and gifted to you on that mountain, so that you can carry that glory. And instead of having these moments of just peaks, you're going to have a life that is being transformed from glory to glory. We are called to be stewards and steward what was imparted to you. When He transforms you from glory to glory, well, actually, I'm going to back up. A result of making an idol out of this mountaintop is, so I go into my prayer closet, and I'm spending time, and I start to encounter and experience the glory of God showing up, and I'm overcome with it. And if I have made an idol out of that, the next time it happens, I'm going to stop where I went last time. Because I've now reached it. Oh, I'm where I was last time. This was so good, and it was good. But the Lord wants to take me deeper. The Lord wants to take you deeper. He does not want you to stop at the same spot you went last time. If you are hosting and carrying it with you, you can start where you stopped last time. So that we can go deeper and be transformed more into His likeness. Just trying to see where I'm at. If I missed anything that I should be sharing, and if I didn't miss anything that I should, then I'll leave what I missed behind. being zealous for good works is carrying the glory of God in your everyday life. Being transformed from glory to glory is not just a few mountaintop experiences, but it's the lifestyle. It's the life from mountain to mountain. It's the in-between the mountaintop experiences. That's the glory. That's when we've truly learned to live and host His glory, is when we go from mountaintop to mountaintop, and we have not left His glory, and we are still walking in His glory. So that is my prayer for you as a church and for myself, is that as we go from here, as we live our life, and we will have these mountaintop experiences where mighty men of God will show up and the glory of the Lord is revealed, is that we will learn to receive it. And then we will learn to take it with us, carry it back down the mountain, and not leave it at the top. So that when we go back to our prayer closet or we leave the conference, we're like, I need to go back there. No, you don't. Carry it with you. So may we as a church be faithful. May we be faithful in carrying the glory of the Lord. That is the purpose of the glory, is to channel it and to carry it with you and I in our everyday life. God bless you.